Blog.
Ooh.
It's gonna be one of those days. What is with the babe? Don got a goose. Wow, that sounds horrible.
Wow. What in the world?
I've not got a clue.
We're just going to go ahead and end that because, wow. We had that problem last time, too, on Thursday.
We did. We did. I don't know what it is, that thing, but yeah.
I'm going to bust out my eardrums. Hi, boys and girls. Hello, boys and girls, and it's time for another edition of Gamer Girls Radio. All right, let me stop.
Yay!
That
sounds kind of creepy.
It does, doesn't it? Don't you want to listen to the Gamer Girls Radio? It's so good.
Well, maybe with that voice, sure.
Yeah, that voice might. All right, it is October 3rd, 2011. And it's time for lunchtime with Ginger and Corey, but if you haven't noticed, I'm not Corey.
No, not Corey.
No, not Corey. Corey is on a super secret source business quest, a.k.a. also known as her internet's out.
Yes, and she's going to cut Comcast?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, they might as well just, you know, get the lemon juice ready because she's not happy. Yeah, they're supposed to be out sometime today to fix it, so hopefully you guys will have her here tomorrow. Well, we do have Ginger here. Hi, ma'am.
Yay, I'm here. Hi, how are you?
Yay, good. Oh, did I introduce myself?
I don't think so.
Okay, well, I'm Snow White, you know.
Yay! We don't get Snow often enough.
Well, yeah, you do. You get me all the time. I'm going to try to behave today. In honor of Corey, who is currently freaking out because she can't work. She's, like, in my text, freaking out. I'm going to have to tell her to calm down.
Hey, Corey, back away from the dead computer.
I told her to take the day and pamper herself, and she's like, no, got to work. Oh, my gosh.
Corey, it'll be okay. It'll be all right. Just calm down.
Swear.
Yes.
Okay, can I go first? Because this is funny to me. It's hilarious.
You may go first because, I'm having an issue with this website.
Okay, well, for those of you who love the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle games, this is not for you. So just listen anyway, though. A fake Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles game for iOS has managed to piss off a lot of consumers, and that's a quote, by the way. That's not me cussing. Has managed to piss off a lot of consumers, and many are wondering how Apple allowed a game that has been in the App Store system for nearly 6 weeks to get past its approval process. The bogus game app claims to be an official Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles game and is the work of a Vietnamese developer known as Dang Van Phuong. We'll just call him Dang. Known as Dang.
All right, Dang.
Dang. The license for the popular franchise is currently held by Nickelodeon, who are working on a brand new animated property to be released in 2013. While it is not known whether this particular developer has a license, judging by the work and the fraud contained within, it's highly doubtful. The game's logo is an exact replica of the official Turtles emblem and displayed next to its App Store description.
Mm-hmm.
The $5 app, it's $5 now, the $5 app, that's a lot for an app, by the way. The $5 app misleads consumers into thinking it is official, but that's not the worst part of it. The game doesn't seem to actually work and borrows art assets from several other classic games such as Contra and Metal Slug.
Ooh.
Yeah, so it's
not good.
According to one review of the game, there's no clear way to interact with it. Another review from a distraught grandmother laments purchasing the game. Okay.
Bless you.
Thank you. Let's try that again. Another review from a distraught grandmother laments purchasing the game for her grandson. This is a quote. The grandmother said, or wrote, I should say, I bought this game for my grandson, and he loves the TMNT. This game has no directions. We can't figure out how to play or even how to restart the game. There aren't any turtles in the game. A total waste of $5. Another review offers more details on the horrors of trying to play. So listen it up. This is a direct review from someone who actually bought the game. The character immediately slides off the side of the screen. There seems to be no way to actually interact with the game, and there doesn't seem to be any way to start a new game. The use of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle characters on the splash screen are almost certainly infringement. The blob that slides off the screen during the actual game isn't identifiable as a turtle or much of anything.
Wow.
Yeah, visiting the developer website.
$5 for fake game?
Yes. And a fraudulent game with no way to interact, nothing going on at all. So visiting the developer website and the support site both go to the same spammy Vietnamese language website selling iPhone and iPod accessories. There doesn't appear to be any actual support. Deleted and requested refund. That's all from the same person. So,
wow.
Basically, Apple allowed this game to get through its approval process. And it was up there for about six weeks, I think. Five?
6 weeks before somebody realized it was fake?
Yes. $5 app, okay? There's no way to interact with it. It uses the TMNT emblem, but there's no actual turtles in it. And then when you try to get support for it, it just takes you to a website trying to sell you more stuff.
Wow.
Yeah. How's that?
That is nuts.
That takes a major cojones right there.
Yeah, you do not want to irritate gamers.
No, that takes major cojones. I am like, I don't know whether to be, you know, enraged or just in awe. I have no idea.
Enraged. Enraged is Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. I mean, that's like a childhood thing for me.
Yeah.
And you just ruined it.
I know, and this grandma bought it for her grandson, thinking she was getting him something nice. And you know, most old people have no money.
Mm-hmm.
So this $5 was probably a lot to her.
Yeah, exactly. She's going to be eating cat food for a month because of this.
Right? Gosh.
Not cool, dude.
Anyway, I thought that was a kind of funny in a really messed up kind of way.
That is funny in a very messed up kind of way. And if we find those people, I'm going to turn all the angry little gamers loose on them.
Be like, look what you started.
It's all for you. Yeah. All right, what have I got? Ooh, free Portal 2 DLC out October 4th.
Woot. Everybody's going to love that.
Yes, yes. Following the release from the well-received Portal 2 in April, Valve marketing director Doug Lombardi said the puzzle game would receive free downloadable content over the summer. However, summer has come and gone without further word on the DLC. Valve ended its silence today, titling the complimentary DLC Portal 2 Peer Review and scheduling it to arrive simultaneously on the PC, Mac, Xbox 360, and PlayStation 3 next Tuesday, October 4th. The pack continues the cooperative adventures of Peabody and Atlas, who will ultimately take on GLaDOS in the new test track. Yay! GLaDOS needs to go down. All right, so the pack also includes a challenge mode, playable both in single-player and co-op, as well as leaderboard support. Portal 2, which has shipped 2 million units, is the continuation of the 2007 Orange Box pack in Portal. The single-player portion of the new title continues the travails of human lab rat Shell, who in the original game used a portal gun to create interdimensional openings in ceilings, walls, and floors, in an effort to escape the Aperture Science Labs and thwart the diabolical artificial intelligence known as GLaDOS. All right, that's awesome.
Yay, sorry, I was like,
yay!
I'm trying not to call on the microphone, so I was muted. Yeah, that actually sounds pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. And those two are adorable, Peabody and Atlas. I love them.
Well, I mean, you know, after so long, it's good that they're giving, like, free DLC. That's good.
Yes. I mean, because I rented the game and I played through it in a weekend, and I loved it. Don't get me wrong. I loved the whole thing, but there needed to be more content.
Yeah. Yeah. That was kind of like, what was it? Fable 3 for me.
Yeah.
It was good. I love the game, love the gameplay, love the idea, but man, it was short.
Yes, yes. I was very, very disappointed. I mean, I loved it. It was a great game, beautiful game. You couldn't ask for better, but I could ask for more content.
Right.
I'm going to pay you $60 for a game. I want it to last longer than 8 hours. Thanks.
Yeah, thanks. Appreciate that. Mm-hmm. But I don't want to have to pay for more downloadable content just to make my game longer. I've already paid you for the game.
Yes, exactly.
All right, so
what we have here was
a failure to communicate. I had to finish that. Do you like Game of Thrones?
No.
No. Well, a lot of people do. You know the show Game of Thrones.
Mm-hmm. That's the main deal, so I don't watch TV, so.
Oh, well, you know, I don't either, but saw it on Netflix, watched a couple of episodes. It's pretty hot, actually.
I'm going to have to go watch it on Netflix then.
It's pretty hot. I liked it. It's very hot. Okay. Whew, hands above the desk. Okay, so there is actually an RPG coming out for Game of Thrones.
Really?
Yes. So those of you who like Game of Thrones, listen up. On September 30th, Kotaku confirmed that developer Cyanide Studio is indeed working on another Game of Thrones title. There's another? There's more? What?
That is crazy.
Oh, having just finished the RTS, A Game of Thrones Genesis, the studio is now working on an RPG set in George R.R. Martin's fantasy universe. So there was already a real-time strategy game out. And now they're going to come out with an RPG, so that's right up my alley. You go, boys. It will take place during the same time frame as the HBO TV series and the first book, Game of Thrones. The RPG is described by studio director Yves Bordelais as drawing inspiration from several BioWare titles. For instance, he likens the combat in the Game of Thrones RPG to Knights of the Old Republic. Okay, I'm mad at them, but we're going to talk about that later. Where it doesn't completely pause the game when you give orders, but slows down time considerably. The story will also be akin to the style of the novels, switching back and forth between two playable characters, which is always fun. Famous characters from the novel series will appear in the RPG, but will not be playable. According to the original story, there will also be some choices that affect the story, with Bordelais stating that some of your actions and choices will have consequences in the game story. Game of Thrones RPG is targeted for release in early 2012, and there'll be more information as details become available. So that's exciting. It's a new RPG.
Yeah. We love new RPGs.
I love new RPGs. Mm-hmm. I'm, like, super excited. And I do want to go ahead and say, for the people of Knights of the Old Republic, I'm mad at you. You got my hopes up, and then you dashed them, and then you got my hopes up again. I'm expecting another dashing. I want to say about that right now.
I love dashing. You better not dash. No.
Oh, we're going to fight.
She's going to cut you. It's going to be on.
We're going to fight. I'm going to get the Vaseline on my arms, take off my earrings. It is on.
That's hot. All right. I am actually pulling this from Yahoo's gaming section this morning. And bear with me. I'm going to be rolling my eyes really hard as I'm reading this. Enrique Iglesias spices up Zynga's Cityville. Yeah. Oh, yeah, let the eye rolling start. All right, so pop stars are lining up to make their debut in Facebook games from online game maker Zynga. First came Dr. Dre and Lady Gaga. Next week, an Avatar singer Enrique Iglesias will join Cityville, Zynga's most popular title. Starting Tuesday, Cityville players on Facebook will be able to interact with Iglesias' character when he visits their cities. They'll get to collect items the singer is known for and watch previews of his newest music video. Yeah. Zynga declined to give financial terms of the deal or say whether it plans more celebrity integrations, which you know they do, citing the fact that it is a typical quiet period for its planned initial public offering. The San Francisco-based company filed registration papers in July for an IPO and is expected to make its public debut this fall. Iglesias said his team approached Zynga with the idea for a game integration and was involved from the beginning on the design and deciding what characters could do. They can collect virtual hats, boots, bling, oh god, bling, blaster is bling, and a speedboat.
We should get that game for him, just for the bling.
All right, bling. All right, representing the time Iglesias lived in Miami and owned one. I thought fans would get a kick out of it, he says. Cityville, which is available on Facebook and the fledgling Google Plus, lets players build up and run virtual cities complete with farms, buildings, and all sorts of infrastructure one would find in a real city. The game is free to play. Zynga makes money by charging for virtual items players use to decorate their cities and to get ahead in the game. The Iglesias tie-in will be available only on the Facebook version of the game. Who is this? Scott Cohensberg, director of business strategy for Cityville at Zynga, says, it's the first time Zynga has had such an entertainer being an integral part of the game. Oh, no, Iglesias, come on. Iglesias said he has played Cityville once. He has an addictive personality, and since being inseparable from Nintendo's Mario Brothers as a child, he has stayed away from the video games, he said.
Oh, please.
That is such a ripoff.
That is such a crock.
I know that if I start playing it, I won't get any work done. I'll just be on all the time. Yeah, because I'm pretty sure, you know, you couldn't hire people to do all your work.
Right, exactly. Thank you.
Cityville players have made the game the most popular application on Facebook ahead of a social versions of The Sims from Electronic Arts. According to research from AppData, Cityville has more than 71 million monthly users compared with more than 62 million for The Sims Social. Facebook, meanwhile, has more than 800 million monthly users worldwide. In addition to the Iglesias avatar and special items, the game will feature a new single featuring rapper Pitbull. I like how it feels. Yeah. Players will also be able to unlock a building called Euphoria Arena, referring to Iglesias' current tour and album. The virtual arena will stay in their cities even after the Iglesias promotion ends on October 10th. Iglesias said that it was important to interact with fans, especially younger ones, in new ways, especially with the problems facing recording companies. That's where social media comes in. He says, for me personally, record labels are still essential, but every day it's becoming more and more about the artist dealing directly with the fans. He's got a point. Mm-hmm. Zynga's first musician tie-in was in 2010 when Mafia War players could unlock Dr. Dre-inspired virtual items and stream a music video. This year, Lady Gaga released new songs on Farmville, which I'm sad to say, I think I heard my mother bought.
Oh, man.
Who plays that? I was like, really? Really? Oh. And she told me how much money she'd spent on it the other day. I was like, really?
The only thing, okay, I really can't talk about spending money on games because I used to spend so much money in Second Life. Like, it was ridiculous. But I don't do it anymore. But still, I mean, to me, it seems kind of like a self- definitely self-promoting. I don't think Enrique Iglesias really likes games at all. I think it's just he's using another platform in order to try to get more money from fans.
I agree. I'm pretty sure drinking and girls are his thing.
You think?
Yeah, maybe just a little bit.
All right, so on to something else that makes me mad.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. Final Fantasy 13. Those of you who have listened to the show before.
Here we go.
Yes. I'm totally aware that Final Fantasy 13 completely ticked me off. I'm having to bring it back some. It completely ticked me off because their game sucked, basically. I was, like, super looking forward to it. Long story short, I loved Final Fantasy, was excited about the game, got the game for my birthday, and it sucked the big one. So, and they actually, Square Enix sent out an apology. Literally, I read the email on the air. I got an apology in my email. And they said that, yeah, they basically acknowledged their game sucked and they were sorry and they were going to redo it. So, in an effort to redo it, they have some downloadable content coming out. Let's see. Final Fantasy 13-2 is due out in Japan on December 15th, 2011. Soon after the release, Square Enix plans to release some downloadable add-ons for the title. The contents of those have been shared below. Now, this is only in Japan, but listen up. Original boss monster Omega. Final Fantasy fans will remember this one. He's a familiar monster that has appeared before in the Final Fantasy series. Defeating it will let you capture its crystal, which will allow it to become one of your party members, and that's kind of cool. They have additional original costumes for Noelle and additional original costumes for Sarah. These items are intended for the Japanese market. Contents for North America and Europe are yet to be announced. Full release date and pricing for the DLC is still undetermined, but will come at a later date. We can hope to expect delivery during the months of December and January, however. Also note that more content will be announced in the future, as this isn't the full list. I'm sorry, but I'm not about to pay for more content for a game that sucked.
Exactly.
Okay, so if you guys want to get me back on board with this whole Final Fantasy thing, you better come out with something better than me having to pay for downloadable content to make your sucky game better.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, let me bring it back down a minute. All right.
First you charged her for a game that didn't work.
I know.
It was so flippin' borked. And it was her birthday present.
It was. And it was not only the regular game, it was the collector's edition. So you know it's expensive.
Mm-hmm. You annoyed. People. I would be too. All right. I have to say real quick, do we have any listeners in New York City? If we do, I want some pictures of these zombie protesters.
I do too. them to webmaster@gamergirlsradio.com. So send that over. We want some pics of those zombies.
Yes, yes, we do. We love us some zombies over here. All right. What have I got next? I want to say so much news, but that's not really so true.
It's really not. There's not much going on today. No,
it's kind of quiet today. It's a little weird.
I don't know whether to be happy or a little upset about that.
I'll be happy.
Okay.
I won't feel, lazy today. All right. So, Game City 6 summons the stuff of nightmares to Nottingham. Mm-hmm. Game City, the world's best-loved video games festival, today announced Fear Friday, a horror-themed day during Game City 6 on Friday, October 28th. The celebrations will include a range of media, including games, film, novels, panel debates, and performative events. All right, so for more details, you want the link, you got to go to GameNatrix.com. All right, so Friday 28th takes on a more sinister sinister tone as the streets of Nottingham fill with the undead and a nightmare day crammed with unspeakably brilliant horrors. Celebrating a range of media with some of the biggest names and best events, Fear Friday has something for everyone. The Fear. Aspiring writers can enjoy a reading from Charlie Higginson's new zombie novel, The Fear, a tense tale focusing on a small group of teens fighting for survival after the world's adults descend into ravenous horrors, intent on devouring the heroes. Higginson will also be presiding over awarding the winners of our Who's Afraid of Game City writing competition at a special event on the Friday evening. Cockneys versus Zombies. Film lovers are in for a treat as James Moran, writer on a huge number of hits including Torchwood, Doctor Who, and Severance, talks about his work on upcoming Brit horror flick Cockney versus Zombies. Still in production, this is a chance for attendees to chew Moran's brains during a Q&A session. And then we've got Scare Theory. Oh, should not scroll. There we go. All right. Writer James Moran, the developers behind iOS, hit Papa Sangre, and writer commentator on violence and popular culture, Gerard Jones, will host a panel discussion to discover exactly how best to scare audiences, whether in films, books, or video games. And then we've got Brian Provenciano's Game Challenge. Retro City Rampage developer Brian Provenciano will undertake a 3-day game challenge with a twist. The public will be invited to draw, doodle, jot, scribble, scratch, and generally get creative as they design a game. From 10 a.m. Wednesday the 26th to 5 p.m. Wednesday the 27th. Wait a minute, what? That's not right. Those are the same days. I think they meant Tuesday and Wednesday, or Wednesday and Thursday. One of those two. All right, submit assets to create a very special horror game set in the undead heart of Nottingham. Design the city in your own image, fill it with monsters, ghouls, ghosts, and zombies, and anything else your imagination can conjure up. Then see it come to life as Brian creates it from 8 a.m. to 3 p.m. on Fear Friday. The day also offers on a more hands-on approach with several craft events, including worldwide art phenomenon, Dr. Sketchy's anti-art school, dead life drawing sessions, become one of the undead with our zombie makeup experts, and take part in a zombie beauty pageant. Ooh, that sounds like fun. For the title and crown of Mr. and Mrs. Zombie. Fear Friday is just one part of Game City 6, the annual celebration of video game culture, which runs from October 25th through the 29th. Game City 6 events are mostly free. And if you want more details, again, we have the links, but you have to go over to GameNatrix.com to get them.
That's right. Right. And every time you said Nottingham, I kept thinking of Robin Hood.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So I was like imagining zombies like shuffling through the Nottingham forest. Oh, running in the trees, bonk, falling over. Yeah. That was funny. Okay.
love you so.
I'm so weird. Okay. Fans of Bloody Roar. Am I listening now?
Bloody Roar.
Apparently there was a Twitter tweet. There was a message that went out on Twitter, and it said that there was a Bloody Roar 5 coming out, and everybody was super serious excited, right? Mm-hmm. So it turns out that the Twitter stream, the quote official Twitter stream, Hudson Soft LTD, was fake. And how we found out it was fake? Oh no, it wasn't very good detective work, not at all. They released a new Bloody Roar 5 image, and it apparently was the troll face, literally a big troll face, with the words, "You all been trolled," on it.
Oh, really?
Yes. So these people...
About it. No, no.
I know, they couldn't be creative. They didn't even have proper grammar, and it wasn't even funny. No. So Hudson Soft LTD got everyone's hopes up, and then all of a sudden, hey, it's a hoax. Yeah.
You people. I don't know what's wrong with you people.
I don't either. And that was short, so let me go ahead and do another one real quick. But I just wanted to mention that. So all of you people who thought that a new Bloody Roar was coming out, sorry, you got trolled.
Trolled?
And you see how much I hate trolls, Ginger?
I don't know what you're talking about.
I believe you do. I think you do.
Nope. Not got a clue what you're talking about. Nope.
All right. I was talking about Australia a while back. Everybody remember that? Did
mm-hmm.
I read this one? I don't think I did.
I don't know.
Oh, well, we're going to do it again anyway.
All right.
The Australian Law Reform Commission's ALRC review into the country's classification system has determined that only games likely to be rated MA15 plus or higher should be classified by the government. The review was commissioned late last year by Federal Attorney General Robert McClelland. The point of the review was to find ways to reform Australia's classification laws in light of changing business models, globalization of retail, and new distribution methods. The ALRC released an issues paper in May of this year offering an overview of the current classification system and inviting the public and the industry to respond. The official discussion paper puts 43 proposals for reform to Australia's current classification system on the table. The most notable recommendation is that the government should only rate games that are MA15 plus or higher, and games rated less than that would be voluntarily rated. Yeah, right.
Hey, no, I'm not liking this idea. Sorry, folks.
No. And this is a quote for you. The classification of most other media content, for example, books, magazines, websites, music, and computer games, now likely to be G, PG, and M, should become or remain voluntary. However, the ALRC proposes that industry bodies should develop codes of practice that encourage the voluntary classification of some of this other content, such as lower-level computer games, using the categories, criteria, and markings of the National Classification Scheme. The ALRC also says that publishers can choose to classify lower-level games voluntarily using authorized industry classifiers. Another quote, there are arguably too many games developed and released each year and developed by too diverse a range of persons to formally classify before they are sold or distributed in Australia. Hundreds of thousands of small games, often played online or on mobile devices and developed by small developers or individuals, are now available for sale. The ARLC says that this new system allows for an industry classification that reduces costs of regulatory burdens, takes independent developers into consideration, and gives publishers of niche products a break. The discussion paper also notes that the R18 plus debate is a prime example of why the required unanimous agreement among the Commonwealth states and territories to make changes to the current rating system is a poorly designed and time-consuming process. Another quote, the ALRC has heard loud and clear that the current system is broken and no longer fits with how people are consuming media content. This is said by the ALRC President Professor Rosalind Croucher. Mm-hmm. She says, it is poorly equipped to deal with the challenges of media convergence and the case for reform is strong. The ALRC is proposing reform that could be phased in to allow time for industry and the community to adapt to the new scheme. Responses to the paper will help inform the development of final recommendations for reform. The government is committed to modernizing Australia's classification system to address the challenges created by rapidly changing media technology, she continues. Oh, no, this is Federal Attorney General Robert McClelland and Federal Minister for Home Affairs Brendan O'Connor said in a joint press statement today. That was September 30th, by the way. The ALRC last reviewed classification standards 20 years ago. Australians need to be confident that our classification system will help them make informed choices about what they choose to read, see, hear, and play. This is especially important for parents who rely on the National Classification Scheme to make sensible choices for their children. The final ALRC report on Australia's classification scheme is due early next year. I got to tell you, this whole voluntary classification system, it's not going to work.
No.
No, if someone knows that their game is, like, boring being classified as being too mature or whatever, they're not going to say, oh, hey, go ahead and do this.
Mm-hmm. No, somebody is going to lie and get their game out there that shouldn't be out there under this.
Yep.
And some kid's going to get a hold of it, and all hell's going to break loose when some parent finds out.
And then, of course, it's going to be all the gamer's fault.
Yeah, all our fault.
Of course. Always
all
our fault.
Horrible deviants.
We are. We're totally deviant. Wonderful.
We love it.
Love it.
We love it. We love it. All right, so what have we got? Dance to Legendary Hits with Ubisoft ABBA. ABBA? ABBA. You can dance video game. ABBA invites you to unleash
your... You don't know ABBA?
No, that was a little bit before my time.
Okay, I thought so. Hey. Oh, my gosh.
ABBA invites you to unleash your inner dancing queen this November. Today, Ubisoft announced the upcoming release of a new video game based on the music and performances of Swedish supergroup ABBA. ABBA You Can Dance is developed exclusively for the Wii system from Nintendo by Ubisoft Paris, the studio that revolutionized the genre with the Just Dance series, as well as Ubisoft Montpellier and Ubisoft Bucharest. ABBA You Can Dance will be released in North America on November 15, 2011. ABBA created the music that spanned generations and has inspired millions to sing and dance. ABBA You Can Dance features 26 ABBA songs, including all of the group's biggest hits, such as Dancing Queen, Mamma Mia, Take a Chance on Me, and Waterloo.
Cannot believe you don't know them.
When were these people around?
I don't remember, but I can't believe you don't know them. And I'm not that old.
But my parents were like, no, you cannot listen to this kind of music. It's evil.
I'm not that old, damn it.
You're not. You're 22.
That's right. 22 and Holden.
Mm-hmm. The game's professionally choreographed routines and unique environments were inspired by the group's music videos and live performances. In the video game market, Ubisoft is the dancing king, says Tony Key, U.S. Senior Vice President of Sales and Marketing at Ubisoft. With ABBA, you can dance, players can dance, they can jive, and they can have the time of their lives, all thanks to ABBA's music and Ubisoft's latest entertaining dance video game. With ABBA, you can dance, Ubisoft is making it possible for people to join in on the fun of a dancing game. Up to 4 players can dance, while 2 additional players can sing along with to the lyrics on the screen.
That sounds like fun.
Yeah. A mini musical mode lets players act out the key roles in a love story based on some of the group's classic songs.
Awesome.
That is awesome.
That's awesome.
ABBA You Can Dance also includes original video clips and displays anecdotes about the groups that even diehard fans will find interesting.
Anecdotes.
Thank you. Anecdotes. Talk about the group that even diehard fans will find entertaining and informative. I'm looking at the word. I'm like, I know this. Why is my brain? Brain, no! Oh, foggy.
Going to have to ask your brain to get with it. Just
I need a replacement, an upgrade or something. It's turning to mush. I blame reading Pride and Prejudice yesterday.
Now the song's in my head. You are a dancing queen. Okay.
Yeah. Was this out in the 80s? Did I somehow miss this?
It might have been the 70s, but I wasn't alive in the 70s, so...
Uh-uh.
I just know them because I don't know, I guess I listen to all types of music, so...
I heard the group, but I wouldn't be able to tell you who sang those songs.
Oh my gosh. You're fired, I'm just saying.
No!
You're fired. All right, Scare.
Cannon into the sun. Cute drama quote. All right.
PlayStation Vita box revealed. That's right, there's a new handheld coming out, PlayStation Vita, and they reveal what the box is going to look like, which gives you a nice overview of what the actual thing looks like. I'm looking at a picture of it now. It's pretty. Listen up. In a post on the European PlayStation blog, European product manager Adam Grant revealed the official package for the European version of the system, and it's pretty, let me tell you. In addition, Grant showcased the apps that will be available on the system at launch. Let me go ahead and give you a list. It says, Welcome Park. This is where you get to explore and discover all of the brilliant features packed in the PS Vita, which is helpful, and then you get a series of mini games that helps you explore that. There's also a party particular app, and that's where you can chat while you're gaming. PlayStation Store, obviously self-explanatory. Group messaging, this is a good way to contact your PSN network friends. You get to have photos. You can capture photos on there. And there's an app called Near, which is like an exclusive location-based gaming network for PS Vita. I don't really like location-based. I try to turn that off every time I can because I'm a little paranoid.
I don't want you following me.
Exactly. I don't want you knowing where I am. You also have trophies, which you get trophies from playing the PS Vita games. Music, again, self-explanatory. You play your own music. Friends, friends list. You can search your friends, invite people to play with you, blah, blah, blah. You also have an internet browser, which, self-explanatory. You can, hey, browse the internet. The features are currently only confirmed for Europe, but they're expected to be the same in the U.S. And the Vita will be released in Japan on December 17th and expected to be released in the U.S. and Europe in early 2012.
Yay!
Yeah, and it's really pretty. Like, I'm looking at a picture of the box now, and it looks really pretty. Now, as we all know, at least women know, you hear me, women? We know that looks aren't everything.
No, looks are not everything.
No. It's how the game handles, is what you got underneath the hood, all that other crap. We know that. Guys, on the other hand, ooh, shiny. And that's about it.
Ooh, shiny. guys, we love you guys. We really, we do.
Yeah, we really love you guys. Really. Mm-hmm. Really love you guys. Mm-hmm, really.
Really.
Yes, hey there. And you over in the corner. Yeah, you're cute. Hi. No, not you.
She goes all in the, yeah, she all goes in the high range. Hi.
Hi. Hi, you love early. Hi.
I hope you get the whole bouncy and twirling your hair thing.
I do the porn star flip. Ah, yes.
That's awesome. All right, so what have we got? The wireless controller has evolved. Wireless controller for Xbox 360 with built-in TFT LCD display. Following the success of Wildfire 2, the best-selling third-party controller for Xbox 360, the Tails development team has been hard at work enhancing the capabilities of its programmable device even further, and today announces the forthcoming release of the next generation in the series of Wildfire Evo. Wildfire Evo builds on the already impressive specification of the original wireless controller, adding a unique built-in 1.7 TFT display, combat command, enabling the user to select from a huge range of gamer enhancements, all accessed directly through the Combat Command Weapon Selector interface. All right, so what have we got? Enable multi-mode turbo fire, sniper mode, low recoil, button remapping, combo sequences, and much more using Evo's intuitive on-screen display. Fine-tune settings at any given moment in your game to ensure maximum effect. Outgun your opponents by speeding up or slowing down the controller's own turbo rapid fire feature. Is that cheating?
I think so.
That sounds like
cheating to me.
Mm-hmm. Use combat command to adjust sensitivity on the analog sticks and trigger buttons in games. Add effects such as slowing down or speeding up the camera pan. Even swap analog sticks around for a left-handed player. Use the displays to switch to your preferred gaming button map, giving you greater control of the game. For example, you may wish to use the Call of Duty configuration on the Halo Reach, or if you prefer, choose to aim and shoot from the same button, giving you a more rapid response. The options are endless, and you simply use Evo's underside fingertip function buttons to flip between custom profiles, giving you loads of combinations and moves, and settings, giving you ultimate control of the game. For gamers who need more customization, simply connect Wildfire Evo to the USB port of any online-enabled PC to update and add to Evo's built-in custom profiles. Once the gamer has selected their preferred configuration, settings will be stored on the Wildfire controller, ready to use in-game. In addition to its uniquely programmability, Wildfire Evo features an integrated headset port for Xbox Live Play, a precision-engineered design built to withstand aggressive, fast-paced gameplay. The design team has even repositioned the F1 and F2 buttons to the back of the controller in a more comfortable position, minimizing finger fatigue and extended gameplay. Dattel has also listened to the requests from users of the original Wildfire 2 controller, and now Evo provides the option to use either rechargeable battery packs or regular battery cells. Awesome.
That sounds pretty nifty.
Oh, and it's going to be going for £34.99, London francs, little L-fine. And released on October 2011 from...
I think it's Lira. Is it Lira?
Lira?
I think it's Lira. Maybe, no, it's Euros.
Euro.
Or something.
Euro.
I don't know. I forget. It's that amount of money.
Money of some sort.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We don't know.
Woo, all right. Boy, yeah. We're going to have to look that up. You know that, right?
You know, we've been doing this for months. I keep saying I'm going to do that. I'm lazy. like making, you know, making up seashells, lindens, friends, I don't know.
Squarepants currency, we don't know.
We don't know. We know it's currency that we don't have.
Exactly, that's all we know. Okay, so if you've been keeping up with the court case news, Brown versus EMA.
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, it looks like the state of California and the Entertainment Merchants Association have not quite completed their courtroom business together, but the rest of their battles will take place in a lower court. The Supreme Court of the United States chose not to make a ruling on the EMA's request that the court award it $1.4 million in attorney's fees and expenses related to Brown versus EMA. Instead, the court sent it back to the Ninth Circuit Court for adjudication. That was hard to say. Adjudication. Whew. The EMA had asked the court to award it expenses related to the violent video game law penned by State Senator Leland Yee, who is now running for mayor of, are you serious? I'm sorry. I saw a picture of the games he was holding up. Let me go back to the story. Who is now running for mayor of San Francisco. A loss by the state would be a black eye to Yee and to Governor Jerry Brown for a number of reasons. But we can certainly think of 1.4 million other reasons why the public might get out the pitchfork and torches. Yeah, so I'm looking at a picture of Mr. Yee here, and he's holding up Assassin's Creed as a violent video game.
Really?
Now, he's got Grand Theft Auto, which I kind of agree with, because it is pretty violent. But Assassin's Creed? Really?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
I don't know. These people...
Have you even played the game?
They probably have not played it all, and they're just talking out of their butt.
He looks very super serious, too. Like, he has that serious business face on.
No. See, if you haven't played the game, you cannot have the whole serious business.
No, you can't. You have no idea what you're talking about.
Exactly. No idea, so you don't get to talk. Nope.
Just shut it. Shut it.
Got it. All right. Sorry, I was twittering with Jay. Jay, we love you.
Hi, Jay.
We love us some Jay.
We do.
All right. Well, speaking of Assassin's Creed.
Ooh, I like that segue. Mm-hmm. That's nice. That was nice.
Assassin's Creed Revelations delayed for PC. Uh-huh. All right, so
that's
pushing
not
back.
Nice.
No, that's not nice at all. Pushing back the PC release for multi-platform games is becoming Ubisoft's standard, that's a low blow, operating procedure. The PC versions of Assassin's Creed Brotherhood, Tom Clancy's Hawks 2, Driver San Francisco, and Call of Juarez the Cartel all trailed their console counterparts, and the publisher might be adding one more to that list. According to a Eurogamer report, Ubisoft's official Czech Facebook page was updated with news that the PC edition of Assassin's Creed Revelations would hit stores on December 2nd, a couple of weeks after the console version's November 15th debut. The update was apparently pulled as a link provided by Eurogamer to the Facebook update regarding the delay points instead to a notice that the content in question is unavailable. Ooh, that's not good. I'm going to lose my voice. So, specialty retailer GameStop also apparently believes the game will be pushed back as it lists the physical and digital release dates for the PC edition of Revelations as November 29th. As of press time, a Ubisoft representative had not responded to GameSpot's request for comment. Revelations will follow the story of Ezio, who was first introduced in Assassin's Creed 2. This time out, Ezio will seek out the haunts of original Assassin's Creed protagonist Altair, visiting such Middle East strongholds as the Ottoman Empire's Constantinople. There, Ezio will once again take up arms against the Templar Order. But apparently not until late in November. Yeah.
I was tweeting. Sorry.
No, that's fine. That's fine. Jay keeps us busy tweeting.
He does. He does. We like Jay, though. Jay's our buddy.
Jay, you got to get back to the game. Got to know. Did you ever get that stuff, Jay, from Second Life?
Got
to know.
Dude, because you've got to redo yourself, because...
Yeah, you're never going to get pixelated that way.
No. You do just... moving on. I will have you know that was Ginger, not me. And on that note, I think it's time for us to take a break. And we're going to do this in honor of Corey, hopefully make her day a little better. So here we go. Come back in about a minute. We'll be here, guys. Peace out.
Yay.
Did that sound like Link was drunk to you?
Slightly. Slightly.
Like, he's all like... Because it totally sounded like he was drunk to me. Yes. Okay, so is it my turn?
It is your turn.
Okay. So, there was apparently a video leak online for Xbox Live. Mm-hmm. A video showcasing Xbox Live's fall dashboard update has been leaked online. The original source of the video is currently unknown, but the system's language is set to French. The video shows a darker, more fluid dashboard, complete with new blades and a new layout similar to Windows Phone 7, because I got to tell you, I hated Xbox Live layout. I hated it.
Mm-hmm.
Microsoft discussed the update at E3 earlier this year, but this video marks the first time the complete new layout has been seen in motion. The dashboard will be able to be controlled entirely with Kinect, which is hot. Microsoft hasn't commented on the leak, but various copies of the video had been pulled from YouTube throughout the day. The dashboard update is set to officially release later this fall. So basically, Microsoft got scooped. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's those darn dirty Frenchies. I love you, Frenchies. Mwah.
Dirty Frenchies, dirty boys.
Thanks.
Oh, we need to behave. I forgot. We're morning.
Yeah, I think I already ruined that. All right. There we go. I almost lost what I was going to read. Here we go. Dungeons and Dragons Unleashed on Facebook. Mm-hmm. Dungeons and Dragons Heroes of Neverwinter enters open beta phase. The first name in role-playing games has taken another step in its storied pop culture history as Atari brings Dungeons and Dragons to the Facebook platform. Atari, one of the world's most recognized publishers and producers of interactive entertainment, has released Dungeons and Dragons Heroes of Neverwinter into its open beta phase, bringing the ultimate RPG brand to the ultimate social platform. All right, who is this? Jim Wilson, president and CEO of Atari Incorporation, says, Heroes of Neverwinter delivers a high level of depth, polish, and authenticity that will fundamentally change the way players think of RPG gaming on social platforms. Existing fans of the D&D franchise will find the translation compelling in all areas of the gameplay experience, while more casual gamers will find the adaptation accessible and intuitive. Legions of Halflings, Dragonborn, and Eladrin will sharpen their blades and ready their spells as Facebook players around the world create their unique heroes and set forth for adventure. Explore over 50 dungeons, battle over 40 unique monsters, learn over 30 unique skills, and discover hundreds of powerful magical items. Gamers can even take on the role of Dungeon Master and create their own adventures for friends and other players to explore. That's kind of neat.
That's awesome.
Dungeons and Dragons is the RPG experience ever to reach the Facebook platform. All right, so if you want to play, you can head over to the apps on Facebook and look up Neverwinter Heroes.
Sweet.
Yes.
I lost my story. There it is. Okay, good. So we talked about Microsoft Kinect in the story that I read earlier. And apparently Microsoft has a brilliant idea. Listen up, y'all. This is their brilliant idea. And actually, it makes sense scientifically. I'm not sure. There's a few things that I have questions about, but we'll talk about it.
Logically.
sorry, kid, but you've got the arms of a 12-year-old, and you're not watching the Spice Channel tonight. That's the idea floated by Microsoft in a patent filing made public this week, proposing to use a 3D depth camera, such as the one in its Kinect sensor for Xbox 360, to digitally measure the proportions of a person's body and estimate age based on the data, such as head width to shoulder width and torso length to overall height. The system could then automatically restrict access to television shows, movies, and video games accordingly, using ratings for each type of content.
Oh, yeah, this is not going to work.
No.
Oh, this is going to open up all... Oh, this is... Oh, bad.
Yes.
Dad, there are going to be some little people that are irritated.
Yes.
Oh, the first time they try to find some porn and they can't because it says they're, you know, five and they're not.
And by little people, we mean the vertically challenged adults.
Yes. I know some of them don't like being called, you know, midgets or dwarfs
or
whatever.
We're trying to be as nice as possible.
I'm trying to be PC.
Yeah, for once, we're PC.
For once. They just... happen to sound amusing.
It might sound like science fiction, but it's actually not a huge stretch given the detailed skeletal tracking that Kinect already uses to let people control games. As described in the patent application, the approach would give parents a new advantage over their tech-savvy kids, many of whom can easily circumvent existing parental controls. But more than that, the technology could work dynamically, detecting when a kid enters the room, for example, and switching to more appropriate content. What about adults with short arms or other seemingly childlike proportions? Don't worry, there would be an override for someone with an administrator password, and no doubt there would be an option to disable the technology from the outset. Now, my question is, these tech-savvy kids, they're going to figure this out. If they are that tech-savvy, they're going to figure that out. I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
Inventors listed on the patent application include Aaron Kornblum, a lawyer who works as director of security policy for Microsoft's interactive entertainment business, John Clavin, an Xbox intellectual property and licensing manager, and Gail Vial, who previously worked as a group manager for the Xbox Live entertainment business. The application was originally submitted in March 2010 and made public by the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office last week. It's still awaiting approval as a patent. As with most of these things, there's no indication that Microsoft actually plans to implement the technology publicly anytime soon, but it does provide a sense for the types of things they're thinking about inside those buildings over in Redmond. I see a lot of major problems with this.
Yes.
Huge problems.
One, I don't want that. I do not want that creepy ass thing spying on me. I don't. If I'm playing a motion game, that's one thing. The rest of it, no. I do. Mm-mm. You can hear me just fine. You don't need to see me.
I agree. I mean, I understand scientifically it makes sense. If they can track what your body's doing and have that translate into the screen, they can also try to gauge your size and everything. But you know, that is going to cause some. And what do you do if someone has a deformity?
Mm-hmm.
You know, how are you going to cross that? This whole administrator password and disabling the technology, those tech-savvy kids are totally going to figure it out.
Yeah. I do not think this is right at all. And I think there are going to be a large group of people who are going to be able to sue over this. Because
yes.
Now they're not going to be able to use this technology because it's working against them. It's... you guys did not think this through very well at all. I can't even believe that this made it so far as to even get published and talked about.
I agree.
This is nuts. All right, so we've got 3 minutes before we go. Do you want to just play some music and go?
Sure, we can roll with that. We're rolling out a little early because, you know, I got stuff that I got to do.
Yeah.
Because I'm not only here in the daytime, so.
Yeah.
So let's see, what do I want to play? Oh, this looks good. Let's do this one.
Oh no.
Yo.
Oh no, you didn't.
Sucker tried to play me, but you never paid me. Never.
Oh no, you didn't.
All right, guys. Tune in tomorrow. Hopefully, Corey will be back.
Forever.
Oh no, you didn't.
Until I get my vengeance, I will never end this mayhem.
Oh no, you didn't.
I'm a mercenary, you ain't got a prayer, you owe me.
Oh no, you didn't.
Oh no, you didn't. Oh no, you didn't. Oh no, you didn't. Oh no, you didn't. Didn't you? Oh no, you didn't pay me what you owe me. So now it's over for you.
First you try to trap me, then you bust a cap in my ass.
Oh no, you didn't.
Such humiliation will bring annihilation.
Maybe I shouldn't have played this one.
Oh no, you didn't.
It will be delicious when I get vicious tomorrow.
Oh no, you didn't.
There's no second chances, you will do the dance of sorrow.
Oh no, you didn't.
Oh no, you didn't. Oh no, you didn't. Oh no, you didn't. Oh no, you didn't. Didn't you? Oh no, you didn't pay me what you owe me. So now it's over for you.
What a fool.
All right, guys, we are outie. Just out, y'all.